This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Biden's warning. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Monday, May 23rd. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
During his first trip to Asia as Commander-in-Chief, President Biden says the U.S. would intervene militarily if China invaded Taiwan.
39 tons of baby formula has arrived in Indiana, the first in a series of shipments from overseas to address a shortage in the U.S.
A third-party investigation finds leaders of the Southern Baptist Convention suppressed reports of sexual abuse over two decades.
And crews that clean hotel rooms are asking us to request a daily cleaning since it's not part of the regular routine.
Hotel prices are up. There's really high demand for travel. And so some of them don't feel like they're getting money's worth without all the amenities that they used to have when they were traveling. Other people are still a little bit worried about COVID, or maybe they didn't like the daily room cleaning anyways, so they don't mind that it went away.
Allison Poley at the Wall Street Journal on hotel housekeepers seeking more hours. President Biden has a sharp warning for China. He says the U.S. would get involved militarily to defend Taiwan if Beijing tries to take it by force. He was responding to a question from a reporter about whether he was willing to get involved militarily if Taiwan came under threat.
The idea that it could be taken by force, just taken by force, is just not appropriate. It will dislocate the entire region and be another action similar to what happened in Ukraine.
Mr. Biden also played down the possibility that China will try to take Taiwan. Meanwhile, the president and leaders from a dozen countries in the Indo-Pacific region earlier today endorsed a new economic platform meant to counter China's influence through cooperation on global issues like supply chains, clean energy, and digital rules. The new platform does not include plans to negotiate lower tariffs or broad steps to clear away barriers to market access. The U.S. is keeping an eye on another health concern, monkeypox. Dozens of cases have been reported in several countries across Europe, including the U.K., Spain, and Portugal. Two cases have been detected in the U.S. Monkeypox is rarely found outside certain parts of West and Central Africa. Early symptoms include fever, headache, muscle aches, backache, swollen glands, chills, and exhaustion. A few days after the first symptoms, a chickenpox-like rash usually appears, beginning on the face and spreading to other parts of the body. The rash eventually forms scabs, which then later fall off. White House COVID response coordinator Dr. Ashish Jha.
I feel like this is a virus we understand. We have vaccines against it. We have treatments against it. And it's spread very differently than SARS-CoV-2. It's not as contagious as COVID. So I am confident we're going to be able to keep our arms around.
Jake Sullivan, National Security Advisor, says the U.S. has vaccines available to protect against monkeypox if needed. Everywhere you go in Washington, people are wondering the same thing. Will Joe Biden run for re-election? The 79-year-old Democrat and his closest allies say he wants a second White House term and plans to run again. But that has not silenced the whispered questions about whether he will do so given his age. After all, he will be 81 in November of 2024. And there's also the matter of his rocky approval ratings. More from Amy Parnes, senior correspondent at The Hill. Amy, what are you hearing?
Well, Gordon, everywhere you go, inside Washington, outside Washington, people are wondering, is Joe Biden going to run again? Is he serious when he says he's going to run again? He told President Obama recently that he wants to run again. So all indication is that he plans on running, but some people are wondering, is it just posturing? 'Cause he would be seen as a lame duck if he didn't say that he was going to run again. So that's the big question that's bouncing around the Beltway right now.
All right. And things may look drastically different after the November midterms, correct?
Correct. I mean, he's underwater in polls for starters. If Democrats lose and they have a shellacking, so to speak, in November, I think a lot of people will look to him as the head of the party, as the one who's responsible for that, and they'll look for change. And so I think that a lot remains to be seen. Of course, we're still in May and things change. But if a lot of Democrats believe that they are going to lose and lose big time in November, and that might not look so good for Biden.
Okay, so changing gears, if the president decides he is not going to run, Vice President Kamala Harris would be the odds-on favorite to throw her hat in the ring then?
Yes, and people say that she would definitely be sort of the anointed one by Biden, but a lot of Democrats have been underwhelmed by her performance as vice president. And so a lot of people are throwing cold water at that idea. And if she doesn't run, there is sort of a weird bench of people, and it looks like it might be something close to what happened in 2020, where you have a cast of characters who are running, more than close to two dozen, maybe. And people are just wondering, will they have enough runway if Biden is still kind of pondering whether he's going to run or not? So all these questions are kind of looming right now, and as people wonder if Biden will run again.
We're speaking with Amy Parnes, senior correspondent at The Hill. Her story is called Speculation Over Whether Biden Will Run Again Heats Up. All right, so back to Vice President Harris then. As you say in the story, there are questions about her political strength. Explain.
Yeah, so a lot of people have been very underwhelmed by what she has done as vice president. There was a lot of expectation, I think, as the first woman, first African-American, first Asian American to be in office, and I think that was placed on her, and she hasn't lived up to those expectations in a lot of Democrats' eyes and views, and so I think that has been a subject too, its own kind of subject. Like if he doesn't run, she has been kind of a weaker vice president, and he hasn't really given her much of a platform. And will she be prepared to run? She didn't run such a great campaign last time during the 2020 race. And so I think a lot of people have their doubts on whether she'll be able to run an effective campaign, particularly against someone like Donald Trump or Governor DeSantis of Florida. So all of these questions remain.
Other Democratic names that might jump in, Amy, would be
I think a lot of people are looking to Pete Buttigieg. He seems to be a rising star in the party. He's done quite well as a cabinet secretary, as a transportation secretary. And so that's a name that comes up quite a bit. Otherwise, I think the bench, when you talk to people and they have honest conversations with you, Gordon, they'll essentially tell you that the Democratic bench isn't looking so great right now. And so they wonder who else can kind of come up through the ranks and do so quickly.
I think you pointed it out in the story, the Democratic presidential race may be frozen depending on what President Biden decides to do. That's sort of similar, I guess, on the Republican side, right? With some folks waiting to see what former President Trump's next move is.
Exactly. It's kind of at a standstill on both ends as everyone kind of figures out what both men are going to do. And if they do run again, what that race might look like, a kind of rematch of 2020. It's kind of both fields are kind of locked right now, and no one wants to, people are kind of quietly watching, but no one wants to say anything. Even in the story, I had a hard time getting people to talk on the record about, what they were considering or what they wanted to do, because everyone is kind of trying to lay low out of respect to President Biden and former President Trump.
Thanks, Amy. Amy Parnes, senior correspondent at The Hill. Coming up next, a baby formula update. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. Some relief is on the way to fight the baby formula shortage. Enough specialty infant formula for more than 500,000 baby bottles arrived yesterday in Indianapolis from Europe aboard military aircraft. The Biden administration has struggled to address a nationwide shortage of formula, especially hypoallergenic varieties. The crisis follows the closure of the nation's largest domestic manufacturing plant in Michigan back in February due to safety issues. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack was in Indianapolis to greet the arrival of the first shipment.
This is not the only flight that we're basically going to be seeing. There's going to be a flight, I think, coming into Dulles later this week.
The White House has said 132 pallets of Nestle Health Science Alpha Amino Infant and Alpha Amino Junior formula was to arrive. Another 114 pallets of Gerber Good Start Extensive HA formula were expected to arrive in the coming days. Another Nestle shipment is expected soon in Pennsylvania. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Biden says the U.S. would intervene militarily if China were to invade Taiwan, saying the burden to protect Taiwan is even stronger after Russia's invasion of Ukraine. It was one of the most forceful presidential statements in support of self-governing in decades. Biden's comments are likely to draw a sharp response from the mainland, which has claimed Taiwan to be a rogue province.
Number two.
President Biden says recent cases of monkeypox that have been identified in Europe and the U.S. are something to be concerned about.
It is a concern in the sense that if it were to spread, it's consequential. That's all they've told me.
Biden says work is underway to determine what vaccine might be effective. Monkeypox is rarely identified outside of Africa, but as of Friday, there were 80 confirmed cases worldwide, including at least 2 in the U.S. and another 50 suspected ones.
Number 3.
Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky says his country may be losing 50 to 100 lives per day in the east. The figure is likely to refer to military casualties and hints at how fierce the fighting has become. Meanwhile, the U.K.'s Ministry of Defense says Russia has suffered a toll similar to the Afghan-Soviet conflict. A new scathing report says Southern Baptist Convention leaders perpetuated a cycle of abuse for 2 decades by ignoring reports of sexual abuse and dismissing recommendations for reform, enabling a culture that re-traumatized survivors. The nearly 300-page report from Guidepost Solutions contains explosive details about how the nation's largest Protestant denomination responded to a growing sexual abuse crisis within its ranks. The report details a credible allegation of sexual assault against former SBC President Johnny Hunt, a month after his term ended in 2010, and how high-ranking staff maintained a list with hundreds of names of ministers accused of sexual misconduct but did nothing with it. Justin Thomas is a major champion when he least expected it. Thomas matched a PGA Championship record Sunday when he rallied from a 7-shot deficit at Southern Hills and then saved his most exquisite shot making for a 3-hole playoff.
I remember how tough it was, and I remember how tough it is now to win. So I knew I was going to be nervous, and I knew that they'd be feeling the exact same thing. So I felt like I probably needed to get to 6 or 7 to have a chance, but I also didn't know.
Justin closed with a 3-under-67, matching the low score of a final round.
$2.7 million for the win. Holy cow. Thanks, Jen. It's the perfect season for a powerful business upgrade with Dell Technologies Summer Sale Event. Save up to 45% on secure PCs built for business with Windows 10 Pro. You'll also find great savings on Dell servers, monitors, docks, and other accessories to help boost productivity. Plus, enjoy free shipping on everything. Take the lead with Windows 10 Pro devices. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL for business specials during Dell's Summer Sale Event.
Innovation. resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
North America's largest hospitality union is trying to spur hotel guests to request daily cleaning, launching a paid promotion on social media with the message that regular room cleaning creates more stability and better workloads for staff. Is that really on us as consumers? It's a story by Allison Poley, travel reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Allison, what's developing?
So a union that represents a large number of housekeepers is launching a campaign directly asking travelers to request daily room cleanings when they stay in hotels. And they're doing that because during the pandemic, a lot of hotels got rid of that automatic service that used to be around. They did it to minimize infection risks to guests and housekeeping staff, but it also helped them because they laid off workers, so there were staffing shortages, and it allowed them to reduce expenses. Now, hotels haven't brought that back, so the union is asking people to request it themselves.
Seems kind of strange. What do hotel guests say about that?
So, hotel guests are mixed on it. You know, hotel prices are up. There's really high demand for travel. And so some of them don't feel like they're getting money's worth without all the amenities that they used to have when they were traveling. Other people are still a little bit worried about COVID, or maybe they didn't like the daily room cleaning anyways, so they don't mind that it went away.
And if you request a daily room cleaning, it's not like you're getting charged extra, correct? Is that still included in the price of the room?
Yep, it's still included in the price of the room. There's no extra charge. Housekeepers say it makes their jobs a lot easier and also gives them more stability in their shifts. When they're only cleaning checkout rooms, they might not be scheduled as many hours because there aren't as many rooms to tidy up during the course of the week, as opposed to the bulk of the work, which comes from cleaning after people leave the room.
I think it was one worker in your story said, not for nothing, but after 5 days or so of not doing daily room cleanings, it can take a lot longer to do it, right? Because a guest has a lot of stuff pile up or stuff gets dirty.
Exactly. And the mix of guests staying in hotels changed a lot during the pandemic. So because there are fewer business travelers, there are a lot more leisure travelers, they're staying for a longer period of time, they might have more guests per room. It could be a family staying there as opposed to one single business person going to meetings. So that means more people, more trash, more towels. And if that isn't touched for a few days, the housekeepers say it can be really difficult to clean once they do go in there and cause more stress, especially as they're trying to get the rooms ready for the next round of guests to check in. And also more painful because of the amount of scrubbing that goes into it.
You said some hotels are evolving their house cleaning. What does that mean?
So they're taking different approaches. So some are deciding, you know what, we're completely done with daily room cleaning, not going to do that anymore. Guests have to request it. Others, like IHG, for example, are introducing a new option for travelers where there's a daily room refresh model, as it's called. And so that means the housekeepers will come in, take out the trash, restock towels, and make the bed with the existing linens, but not replace them. So those are the quick tidy ups between the bigger cleaning that can make it easier in the long run.
Thanks, Allison. Allison Poley at the Wall Street Journal. High interest debt can put you into a financial hole, and a lot of people are too embarrassed to ask for help. That's where Upstart comes in. Upstart can help you get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date, whether it's for paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses. You can even receive funds in as fast as one business day, from $1,000 to $50,000. And checking your rate at Upstart has to be the easiest process ever invented. The questions are simple, the drop-down boxes are user-friendly, and the application took less than 5 minutes. In addition, all your responses are encrypted and do not affect your credit score, so you have complete security and privacy. Don't wait. Check your rate today at upstart.com/Gordon. That's Upstart, loanoffer.com/Gordon to check your rate today. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Again, upstart.com/Gordon.
Edgy, smart, bringing you what you need to know. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday, May 23. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. For those keeping track, or rather, President Biden says the U.S. would intervene militarily if China invaded Taiwan. An overseas shipment of baby formula arrives in Indiana. If you missed it, Friday, Hillary Clinton's former campaign manager testified that she approved the dissemination of materials alleging a covert communications channel between the Trump Organization and Russia. Finishing in second place at the PGA Championship earned Will Zalatoris $1.6 million this weekend. And how much teen babysitters make these days? We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Shooters who have caused the most death and destruction with a racial motive are celebrated online in images and messages depicting them as saints. Experts worry teenagers online may be susceptible to the imagery. Will Carlis, national reporter covering extremism for USA Today, has been looking into it. Will, what have you found?
So this is something I've been seeing for years, and you know, it's no surprise to experts in extremism, but I think it's pretty shocking to most people, is that these shooters, particularly racist mass shooters who have gone out and committed these atrocities, far from being, I mean, obviously they are reviled and hated in many parts of the internet, but in other parts of the internet, they're actually really kind of held up as aspirational figures, and are actually this trend that has come out where they're given the title either brother or saint, and saint is specifically for people who kill the most people and have what these hateful groups consider to be the most sort of successful mission, successful being that they've killed the most people. So yeah, in the hours after this attack, the Buffalo shooter was already being referred to as Saint Gendron, and yeah, pretty dark stuff.
Jeez. Okay, so it sounds like a great idea, right? Just shut this stuff down. Just cancel those memes on the internet. But it doesn't work that way, yeah. Right? They would just resurface somewhere else.
Well, firstly, I mean, you know, there's nothing illegal about calling a mass shooter a saint, or you know, worshiping a mass shooter in a way. I mean, that falls within the First Amendment, right? Yeah. I mean, so there's nothing. This is legal speech, and so law enforcement can't do anything about it. Now, what they can do is they can say, if someone starts saying, you know, I'm going to be the next saint, or I'm going to go and target this specific place, if there's a specific threat, then law enforcement can do something about it. But as far as shutting it down and censoring it, I mean, it's just not going to happen. Wherever you shut these people down, they will show up somewhere else. Yeah. The internet has always got a darker corner that people can go to and, you know, and meet each other in, and they'll always find their way there. You can clamp down on the sort of the big megaphones. You can stop these people from posting on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, and those companies are, you know, hard at work trying to shut down this kind of hate speech, but they'll always crop up somewhere or other.
We're speaking with Will Carlis, national correspondent covering extremism for USA Today. He's written a piece called Online, Extremists Turn Shooters into Saints. I read something the other day, too, where somebody was making the case that you can pin this on people being racists or anti-Semites, things like that, but because there were signs ahead of time, we're ignoring these larger mental health problems that it seems a lot of these folks have. What about on that front, Will?
I mean, I think that's fair. I think that's true. I don't think anybody goes and kills large numbers of people who doesn't have mental health issues, no matter how much they proclaim to be, you know, sane and normal, as indeed this guy did in his online writings. I mean, you know, I live in California, and I mean, you only have to take one step into any major American city to see that we have a huge mental health crisis in this country, and that, you know, that people with serious mental health issues are not getting the help that they need, you know. Of course, what I hate about this kind of connection is that it does stigmatize, you know, people with mental health. The vast majority of people with mental health issues, you know, don't commit atrocities like this.
These images of mass killers as saints, who's the target community?
Teenagers, young teenagers, middle school kids. You know, this is a long-running trait of the white supremacist community, which is that you hook them young and you get them with edgy humor, because this is supposed to be humor. I mean, this is supposed to be edginess. And that, the whole idea is that if you can sort of be the most edgy and the most out there, then that's attractive to a certain group of teenagers who are rebelling and who are in this kind of headspace where everything their parents do is wrong and everything their teachers do is wrong. And so they gravitate towards the most extreme version on the other side.
Thanks, Will. Will Carlos, national reporter for USA Today. Coming up next, the mic drop.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us, and welcome into Monday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we seem to be awash in fast food stories lately, with two more coming to our attention today. Let's start in Florida, where a woman got the wrong order at a McDonald's and did not take it well, got the police involved, and is now in her own trouble with the law. Police say the 22-year-old woman intended to pick up her drive-thru order, a Happy Meal with a chocolate shake, a filet-o-fish sandwich, iced tea, and fries. According to the Polk County Sheriff, something was wrong with the order, so employees asked the customer to pull up to the third window. But she parked and stormed into the McDonald's instead. Surveillance video shows the woman berating employees before eventually calling 911 to complain. Then things got even worse when she allegedly went behind the counter and started throwing things around at employees. The entire encounter lasted around 10 minutes and got the irate customer arrested on charges of burglary with assault, criminal mischief, disorderly conduct, and misuse of 911.
Wow, it's hit the jackpot there.
Yeah. That's
all those charges.
That's a nice little smorgasbord of bad news for her.
Goodness gracious.
But yeah, started with, you know, calling 911 to complain about her, thinking she was somehow going to get sympathy from the police, who then came and took her away instead.
22 years old.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? I mean, you know, you live in Polk County, Florida.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, just like east of Tampa, right? Like, go to the beach, chill out.
Right.
You're like, I don't know, an hour south of Orlando. Like, chill, man,
a little too much stress, for someone down there. And what about the filet-o-fish with the chocolate shake?
Yeah, I got to question the choices too. Although, if you're getting a Happy Meal, perhaps there was a child involved,
right?
You know, that she was picking up for. I don't know. It's hard to read that menu selection she made.
There's a lot of weird choices there. And in a case of be careful what you wish for, Taco Bell fans who clamored for the return of the Mexican pizza to the menu are being left disappointed. We told you a couple of weeks ago about this and how celebrities like Dolly Parton and Doja Cat went to great lengths to pressure the chain to bring back the popular menu item. Now that it is back, people are taking to social media to complain that the Mexican pizza is not like they remember it. Most complaints seem to center around the shell, which they say is more like a hard taco shell rather than the old one, which they said was fried and had more flavor. Some also said the new shell has a weird aftertaste. Others shared pictures of their underwhelming-looking pizzas and complained that they cost over $5. To be fair, though, lots of people were happy at how their Mexican pizza came out, with some jokingly relieved that our long national nightmare is over. I saw some of these pictures and they were pretty ugly looking, but I think it depends where you go. I mean, sometimes you're going to get a good one and sometimes you're going to get a bad one. I saw some pictures of them that actually looked pretty appetizing.
We need a list of veteran Mexican pizza makers at Taco Bell. Like, where do you work? We want to see your
Yeah.
Your product.
Right, right, yeah. Yes. Yeah, because, you know, definitely can vary from location to location.
Now there's going to be a petition to take it back, right? Get rid of it. Take it off the menu from all the haters.
Yes.
By the way, I'm trying to set a personal record.
Okay.
For the number of consecutive days of eating sausage and peppers.
Oh, wow.
So my mother-in-law made a vat, an absolute vat
yes.
of it. She said, you know, you can freeze it. And I said, no, there's no freezing it. I promise you I will blow through all of
so
this.
So you're doing like at least 2 meals a day at this point?
I think at least 2 meals a day. And I think she brought it last Sunday, so I think I've gone at least seven days in a row of at least one meal of sausage and peppers.
You better watch out. You are bordering on bad news with that sausage 7 days old at this point.
It's the perfect season for a powerful business upgrade with Dell Technologies Summer Sale Event. Save up to 45% on secure PCs built for business with Windows 10 Pro. You'll also find great savings on Dell servers, monitors, docks, and other accessories to help boost productivity. Plus, enjoy free shipping on everything. Take the lead with Windows 10 Pro devices. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL for business specials during Dell's summer sale event. Thanks for spending time with us. If you can swing it, it says, good a time as any to unload a used car. A new survey from Cars.com finds that the trade-in values for used cars and trucks from 2018 to 2021 remain high amid the ongoing vehicle shortage, with a third of dealers paying over 20% more than they were 2 years ago. Several models have seen significant gains in recent weeks, with payouts for the Tesla Model 3 and Toyota RAV4 Prime up 12% from March to April. The Tesla Model Y followed closely at 9%. But it's not just electrics and plug-ins that are increasing in value. Rounding out the top five, the Kia Optima was up 12% and the Toyota Corolla price up 9%. Kia's and Tesla's lineups were the strongest overall, with an average boost of 7% during that period. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Biden has announced 12 countries have joined a new trade pact that the White House says will help the U.S. work more closely with Asian economies on issues, including supply chains, digital trade, clean energy, and anti-corruption efforts. Along with the U.S., they represent 40% of world GDP.
Number two.
A military cargo plane carrying the first shipment of infant formula from Europe to address a critical shortage in the U.S. landed in Indianapolis yesterday. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack was there to meet the plane, which was carrying 78,000 pounds of specialty infant formula.
This is not a simple process. As the Nestle Gerber folks will tell you, the development of formula and specialized formulas, it takes a lot of ingredients.
A February recall by top baby formula maker Abbott Labs and the closing of its manufacturing plant in Michigan created the shortage.
Number three.
The Polish president has delivered a message of strong support for Ukraine during the first address in person by a foreign leader to the parliament in Kyiv since the Russian invasion began. During his speech yesterday, President Duda thanked Ukraine for defending Europe against what he called Russian imperialism. Duda, who received a standing ovation after his speech, said Poland would do everything it could to help Ukraine join the European Union. Nearly 900,000 homes in southern Canada were left without power over the weekend after a severe storm hit the provinces of Ontario and Quebec. 7 people were killed by falling trees, and a woman died when a boat capsized in the Ottawa River. Wind gusts reached 82 miles per hour. Power company Hydro One, which covers Ontario, said it would take several days to restore power to everyone. We may be cutting back spending in many areas to combat inflation, but one area where we're not cutting back is on live sports. Now that pandemic restrictions are easing, even as cases remain elevated in many places, we are looking to get out more. That was illustrated earlier this month when ticket prices for this fall's NFL games are averaging $307 immediately following the release of the league schedule. The average in 2019, before COVID gripped the globe, $258. This spring, fans are packing arenas for the NHL and NBA playoffs.
All right, thank you, Jen. Coming up next, how much babysitters make these days? How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save. Thanks for being with us. The usual white-collar and blue-collar workers aren't the only ones in the driver's seat when it comes to pay these days. The Wall Street Journal says babysitters are calling the shots as well. Before the pandemic, Danny Gancher earned about $15 an hour babysitting in her hometown of Scarsdale, New York.
Parents sometimes asked her to wash dishes or stay late. Now, the 18-year-old is raking in $25 to $30 an hour. Moms and dads are asking a lot less from her, and they treat her like a VIP. Care.com, the child care marketplace, says babysitters on its site charged an average of $18.05 an hour in April. In 2020, that number was less than $15. A tight labor market is creating one of the best summer job markets for teens in years. Businesses facing a pandemic hiring crunch are scouring teen job fairs and offering bonuses and flexible schedules to young people. A daycare worker shortage is leaving parents scrambling to make alternative arrangements. Unemployment among teenagers is at its lowest level in decades. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.